This week, for episode 55, I've got some new movie trailers, including the just-released hours ago Spider-Man Homecoming. In the news, I've got a guy with an interesting name, a parrot that wants to sell you a house, bikini-clad baristas, and so much more. And in recommended listening this week, my wife sat down with me for one of her favorite shows, the Myths and Legends podcast.
Beginning Hot Dad Out podcast in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Odd Dad Out podcast, where normal is not my specialty. That's right, I just can't keep things straight around here, except that I like to make fun of news and talk about nerdy stuff and rant a little bit and share the stuff that I like. So, like I said, we had a bunch of new trailers this last week, and it's just going to be... I'm not totally going to overload the show with trailers this week. I've done that before. Hell, I did that a few weeks ago, but there was a lot of movies. That was all I had. That's all I needed. But we got three new trailers for some really big movies coming up. So I just got to talk about them because I'm still a nerd and I still love movies and you should be used to this by now. So let's roll into the movie news. Alright, first up today, we have the latest trailer for Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. This one's bringing back, obviously you've got Johnny Depp coming back, you've got Captain Jack Sparrow, you've got Barbossa, you've apparently, Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley both pop up back in this one. I think they realized after the fourth movie that they need all of them to be successful. But... this one is a whole new thing having to do with, like, young Jack and something that happened when he was just getting started as a pirate before he was the Jack Sparrow. But let's just take a look here.
Pirates had infected the seas for generations. So I vowed to eliminate them all. Then there was this boy, Jack Sparrow.
Follow him in.
He took everything from me and filled me with rage.
The dead have taken command of the sea. We're searching for a pearl, a girl, and a sparrow.
I have heard stories of a mighty Spanish captain who was hunted and killed thousands of men.
No. Pirates. Pirates.
I once knew a Spaniard named something in Spanish.
He's coming for you, Jack.
Where is your ship? Your crew?
Your pants? Jack!
I'm so sorry, were you still talking?
There's nowhere to hide. Find Sparrow for me.
From this moment on, we are to be allies.
Considering where your left hand is, I'd say we're more than that.
Monkey.
I'm not looking for trouble.
What a horrible way to live.
You will pay for what you did to me.
Men on that ship are looking for Jack. I'm going to swim for it.
Karina, stop that.
No, don't stop that.
This has gone far enough.
No, it has not.
I saw her ankles.
You'd have seen a lot more if you kept your cake holes shut.
Okay. Now, I said it when I posted up the trailer on Facebook, but I admit, yes, these movies have kind of dropped off in quality. On Stranger Tides was kind of crap. It was a weird, wonky story, and let's shoehorn Jack Sparrow into it. They've kind of brought this back where it actually matters. Jack is important. The entire story is about Jack. And after all, that's kind of what the whole series was about. It was really Jack and Will and Elizabeth and all the shit that went on around them, right? This is back to that. It's about Jack. It looks fun. And, you know, one of the little panels pops up, the final adventure. So are they ending it on this? I don't know. If this is good, I doubt they're going to end it here. I don't think they will. I think I've seen a lot of movies where they screwed up one and then they make another one right after that's just epic, is just like an apology. And I'm hoping that this is basically the apology for Pirates 4. It could also be a, sorry, we screwed up and we drove this series into the ground. We're going to go out with a bang. But I think in order to go out with a bang, they have to kill Jack. Who knows? I don't know. But it does look good. It looks good. So I'm suspending disbelief. I think Pirates 5 looks good. I think if it is good, they should quit while they're ahead and stop trying to milk this franchise. I know Johnny Depp has said he will play Jack Sparrow as long as they will let him. So let's hope they stop letting him. Just for the sake of, don't drive it completely into the ground. That's all I'm saying. But it looks good. I like it. I own all of the other ones. I really do. I personally own the DVDs, believe it or not, of all of the other Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So I'm going to see this. I like the movies. I like Jack Sparrow. They're fun movies. Again, 4 was kind of garbage. They're still a fun series. Okay, coming up next, we have the latest, I guess technically the first official full trailer for the Justice League. And I know I played before and there was the teaser trailer that came out before and some of that stuff works its way in here. But this is kind of the first full length official trailer that we've got for the Justice League that just came out this weekend. So let's check this one out.
We have to be ready. You, me, the others. There's an attack coming from far away.
Not coming, Bruce. It's already here. The others. Where are they?
Arthur Curry. The Aquaman. It's on him.
Organic and biomechatronic body parts. He's a cyborg.
You should probably move.
Barry Allen. Whoever you're looking for, it's not me. You're the Batman?
They said the Age of Heroes would never come again.
It has to.
What are your superpowers again?
I'm rich.
One thing I can tell you is you got to be free.
My turn.
Come together.
Shall we?
It's good to see you playing well with others again.
Just like a bat. I dig it.
Maybe temporary.
Okay. Again, another sort of a trailer that has to be good. It has to be better than its predecessors, because BVS was critically ripped to pieces. Suicide Squad was ripped to pieces. We've still got Wonder Woman coming up this summer, but Justice League has to just be completely awesome. It's the Justice League. You've got Batman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman, who looks fucking awesome, by the way, and Cyborg and The Flash. And this trailer is kind of that whole, hey, I wouldn't say origin trailer, but it's the rounding up the team, the, hey, we're going to show off everybody because this is the first trailer. At the same time, it's got tons of action. And if there's one thing Warner Brothers is definitely good at, is making a good trailer. Unfortunately, they're also good at making deceptive trailers. BVS and Suicide Squad were played out to be much better in their trailers than the movies actually were. That being said, the action sequences in this trailer look awesome. Jason Momoa as Aquaman. Aquaman is like the butt of every Justice League and Super Friends and whatever joke ever in history. He's the fruitiest damn superhero ever. But he looks fucking awesome. And the bit at the end where he's riding the Batmobile and launching into parademons looks fucking awesome. They made Aquaman Drax the Destroyer. So I'm digging this. Now, there's a ton to question in this. They keep saying, Superman's in this, Superman's in this. For those playing the home game, Superman died, air quotes, at the end of Batman vs. Superman. Of course, he didn't die. He never dies. But he has yet to be shown in any promotional material, other than a couple, like, hey, here's a poster of the Justice League and Superman's in it. They haven't shown him in any trailers. They haven't shown any clips. Tons of rumors, oh, he's going to wake up evil or something like this. But there's tons of shots in this trailer of them fighting parademons and just huge battle sequences. Amazonians and Atlanteans fighting hordes of parademons with, you know, the Justice League charging in. Crazy shit. It just looks awesome. And I'm really hoping that this is good. Because it's really a shame that these movies have had such a hard time taking off. But much like the Wonder Woman trailer, looks great. I'm really hopeful for Wonder Woman. I'm really hopeful for Justice League. I hope they don't fuck it up. I really hope that they turned things around. They've said that they've turned things around and that they took the criticism from the last two movies to get this right. So let's hope that this is good. Because I don't want a shitty Justice League. You know, I grew up, we were huge Batman fans, huge Superman fans. We were not big Marvel fans other than, you know, every kid in the 90s watched the Fox Kids X-Men. Everybody watched that. You also watched the Batman the Animated Series. Those are like the two best animated the cartoon versions of comic book shows ever. Everybody watched those. But the Justice League has that honor. They're just the most badass. The Avengers are great, but the Justice League are badass, and they need to be badass. So I am really, really hoping that this is as good as this trailer says. And I'm hoping next time they pop up a trailer or something, you see some image of Superman. I don't think they're going to keep him hidden for the next, until it comes out. That would be bad. Yeah, that would be bad. To quote my old chemistry textbook, not to know is bad. Okay. Last up in trailers, and it just dropped this morning, is the latest trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming. I guess it's technically, I would say it's the first trailer. The first one was, much like Justice League, it was kind of a teaser. It wasn't really the actual trailer. But here we go with Spider-Man Homecoming.
What's up, guys?
So to become an Avenger, are there like trials or an interview?
Do me a favor. Can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? Just stay close to the ground.
You're the Spider-Man from YouTube.
Can you summon an army of spiders?
No, Ned, no.
Do you know him too?
I stole his shield.
Can I try the suit on?
Badass.
The rich and the powerful, like Stark, they don't care about us.
The world's changing, boys.
Time we change too.
These weapons are crazy dangerous.
Listen, Peter, forget the flying monster guy. There are people who handle this sort of thing.
The illegal weapons barrier was at 230. You missed it.
What if somebody had died?
I was just trying to be like you.
I wanted you to be better. I'm gonna need the suit back.
But I'm nothing without this suit.
If you're nothing without this suit, then you shouldn't have it.
I screwed up.
You need to stop carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders.
I want you to understand. I'll do anything to protect my family.
I know you know what I'm talking about.
So don't mess with me. I would kill you and everybody you love.
My friends are up there!
The guy is still out there. I just gotta do this on my own.
Just don't do anything stupid.
I got this.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's nice to see they're basically making a unified tone, because now that Spider-Man is in the Marvel universe, like the shared Sony Marvel universe, there's lots of Tony Stark, there's lots of Avengers talk, Avengers Towers, and the posters, and there's, you know, he's there, and there's a lot of Spider-Man wanting to join the Avengers, because this is like 16-year-old Spider-Man, which is great, and it's nice that they're going back in that way. It kind of sucks that because they've incorporated Spider-Man into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that now it basically means that Tony Stark pops up everywhere, because Tony Stark pops up everywhere. He is in every single MCU movie. You go back. He's in everything, somewhere. But he's the linchpin of the MCU, so that's just kind of the deal. Like, Batman holds on to the whole DCEU. Iron Man, same deal. What is it? It's a rich ass guy with gadgets. Is the leader of that cinematic universe. But it looks fun. It looks like a good Spider-Man movie. It looks like a good story. And I think that's kind of important. But it looks dark. No other Spider-Man has so far been this dark, where you've got Michael Keaton playing the Vulture, who's kind of a twisted guy anyway, but Michael Keaton is great at playing a villain. He's great. I mean, he's a great actor anyway, but he's great with this, in that when he says, "I'm going to kill you and everybody you love," fuck, dude, the look on his face is just evil. I think, as much as is, yes, it's a Spider-Man movie, but no hero can succeed without a great villain to make him look good. And I think Michael Keaton is just going to be a great villain. I hope he's not as flat. There's been a lot of, people nag about how Marvel movie villains are very flat, and they just kind of throw them in there and they're like another version of the hero. Which, yeah, in a lot of cases, that's basically it. Spider-Man, not so much. There's like two villains in the entire Spider-Man universe that are really anything like Spider-Man, and they haven't touched him. Okay, they did Venom, but pay no attention to that Venom. There's a new Venom movie they're working on that's going to be completely separate, and they're saying it's going to be like a horror, sci-fi horror movie. But that's a story for another day. I think this Vulture is going to make this movie. This is going to be so heavy that they're really just, and again, yeah, it's Spider-Man trying to become an Avenger and Spider-Man trying to grow up and all of that. And it's Spider-Man Homecoming. So it's like here's Spider-Man post Civil War coming back after fighting with the Avengers. And how did that change his life and his being Spider-Man? So I don't know. I think it's going to be fun. I have not seen either of the Amazing Spider-Man movies. The ones, the second version of Spider-Man. I saw bits and pieces and I wasn't feeling it. So I was just like, nah, I'll pass. This I want to see. I think Tom Holland's doing a good job with the 16-year-old Spider-Man, even though I think he's like 20 now, whatever. He looks young. But it looks like a good movie. I think I'm going to enjoy it. And I like that they're finally getting Spider-Man into the MCU. It's going to be cool seeing Spider-Man in Infinity War, because you know they're going to have Spider-Man in the Infinity War. And he's going to be playing into other stuff. And so I'm digging it. That's just it. Spider-Man is fun. Everybody loves Spider-Man. He's like Batman. Everybody loves Batman. Everybody loves Superman. And everybody loves Spider-Man. And really, you could probably fuck off every other character out there. Every other comic book character. Even if you have a preference, everybody's got a preference, but everybody likes Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. If you don't, fuck off, you're full of it. Anyway, that's enough trailers for now. I'm going to take my first little promo break here, and I will be right back with the news.
What's happening with the Mole Man?
What's happening to the new man?
What's happening with the Mole Man?
I don't know the song about the new man.
Hey, it's the new man. If you're looking for a new podcast to check out, why not check out What's Happening with the New Man, with the crazy mad scientist from Australia talking about all sorts of things, from gardening to cooking to life at home with your kids. What's Happening with the New Man podcast is the one for you. Check it out now. It's on iTunes, What's Happening with the New Man, also on Podbeam and all your social media pipes. Make sure you press the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. You don't want to miss this hilarious podcast from Australia, What's Happening with the New Man.
Okay, first up today, I've got a guy with a weird name. And it's not, his problem isn't that he has a weird name. His problem is he has a weird name, and he put it on his license plate. Lorne Grabber of Nova Scotia, Canada, put his name on a license plate. He put his name, he got a vanity plate made, and a lot of people get vanity plates, and if you have a name that fits, a lot of people put their name on their vanity plate. He made it up for his dad. Back in 1991, he had his family name put on a license plate. Well, now the local government has said, like the DPS or whatever the hell it is in Nova Scotia, has said, we're invalidating your license plate because it's offensive. And why is it offensive? Lorne Grabber has his name is spelled G-R-A-B-H-E-R. And people are dumb and read grab her. And because we live in an era, too many A's, where everybody associates everything with being offensive, now suddenly people think that it's some sort of a Donald Trump reference. Mind you, this is in Canada. And he's had this license plate since 1991. People are associating this with that whole Donald Trump grabbing women and all that. And I was like, really? You're Canadian. Aren't you not supposed to be getting offended? Isn't that like the Canadian thing? You're supposed to be so passive. But they literally, because people might be offended, they're saying that it is misogynistic and people might misinterpret it as socially unacceptable. Don't be a bunch of pussies. The guy's got his name on a license plate. People put profanity on license plates. Okay, there was a fucking Seinfeld episode about it where a guy fucking had his ass man on his license plate. They let people do that, and what they won't let him put grabber, his fucking name. It's his name. At least he's protest. He's like not protesting. He's appealing it. It's his family name. It's been around. It's been there. It's an old name. He just wants to have his damn name on his license plate. What's the fucking wrong with that? Don't be a bunch of assholes. You're Canada. You can't be that much of a dick. Canada, one giant dick in this particular case. Moving along quickly, because I got a bunch of stuff today. I do. What is the most original way you could think of to sell a house? Like, everybody knows you try and sell a house. It's trying to get people to look at your house, at your pictures on little real estate website. What about dressing up a guy as a giant parrot? Well, that's what one guy did. He said, well, I want you to, he told the realtor, I want something that will get people to look at my house. I want to sell my house. What are you going to do to make my pictures of my house stand out over all the rest? And they're like, let's dress up a guy as a fancy parrot. So they took a bunch of pictures in the house. You know, your standard realtor pictures. Here's the dining room. Here's the bedrooms. Here's the bathrooms, all that. Here's the backyard. Well, let's have a guy in a parrot suit cooking on the grill. Let's have a guy in a parrot suit and a tuxedo sitting down at the dinner table. And you know what? It sure as shit worked, because within a week he had 1,000 people making inquiries into the house. What the hell? Not. I mean, this is a, we live in an internet social media weird era where everything goes viral. Well, I'm sorry. A real estate listing with a giant parrot is going to fucking go viral. It's funny. And it's a great idea. I love it, because it's way thinking outside the box. I mean, what better way to get people to click on your house pictures than have a giant parrot? It just stands out. And it's a really nice house. This is like this gorgeous house. And lots of nice stone. And I mean, it's a beautiful house. And he's out on the back deck with the grill. But you've got this neon fucking parrot in the middle of the picture. Your eye goes to the parrot. It's genius. It is genius marketing. I applause to, I have an applause button somewhere. I just don't have it queued up. Oh, well. Applause to the giant parrot realtor man. And this was supposed to be just like a one-off thing. They have not said, hey, who's in the suit? Is it the realtor? Is it the owner? Is it just some other guy that's there? Hey, we need a giant parrot for a photo shoot. They haven't said, but I would not be surprised if this realtor doesn't pull out the giant parrot for some high-end clients here and there. Which seems funny. I think it's going to be the high-end clients with a sense of humor. There's going to be those uppity bitches that are like, oh my god, you're not going to degrade my house. You're selling the fucking house. You're not going to besmirch my listing with your silly parrot. My silly parrot's going to sell your house. Sure as shit it did. Marketing. Go marketing. That is a lesson you will not learn in any marketing class. One lesson you will learn in a marketing class is sex sells. Including the now very popular bikini baristas. Bikini beans espresso, which there's actually several of them out here in the Phoenix metro area. They're really, this particular, I think this is like the only one that's like a chain at this point. I don't know. I don't go to to the little coffee kiosk. I don't buy coffee. I just make my own. But Bikini Beans, they're all over Arizona and Washington. I guess in Washington, these bikini coffee shops are really big. And some of them are like topless beans and all this stuff. And the girls just wearing pasties. Out here, they wear bikinis. They wear, you know, proper bikinis and whatnot. But, you know, they said the Bikini Beans Espresso brand, they're kind of getting up a lot of people are getting mad, you know. Now, guess who's getting mad? Uppity moms, really super uptight women who think it's demeaning and it's objectification and, oh, it's offensive. And they're like, oh, I can't bring my children by there. Like, if you're stopping it, if you're going to be offended by a woman in a bikini, why are you going to the Bikini Beans Espresso stop? There's a Starbucks drive-thru around the corner. There's a Dutch Brothers. There's a Stinger's. There's 100 different coffee kiosks. So just don't go to the Bikini Beans if you don't want to see the bikini girl. That being said, what's so fucking wrong with it? Really? They say, oh, it's demeaning to women. They're not being forced to dress this way. This was not a Starbucks that said, okay, tomorrow all the girls have to show up in G-strings. No, this is called Bikini Beans Espresso. These girls applied for this job, meaning they wanted to go out there and they're exhibitionists. They're outgoing. This is something they wanted to do. They are not being forced to do this. They did not apply at Starbucks and get told they have to be naked. They came out and said, I want to work at Bikini Beans. And the owners, guess what, are primarily women. Because there's two sides to this. There's the people who are like, oh, you know, dressing women up in provocative outfits and them wearing revealing clothing is demeaning and objectifying women and all this. Maybe it's objectifying women. But when they're doing it themselves, you cannot say that. They're not being forced into this. The other camp, guess what? The employees, the owners, there's like, this is empowering. This is these women getting to say, look at me. This is, I am proud of my body and I want to show the world. It's the same thing in porn. It's the same thing in strippers. Yes, there are porn stars who are like blackmailed into it, who are like sex workers. There are strippers who are like down on their luck and they're doing, but there are some of them in those groups who do that, who are in porn, who are stripping because they enjoy the experience, because they feel empowered by the experience of controlling their body and doing what they want. Without somebody telling him, no, you can't do that because that is improper. A woman shouldn't do that. A woman shouldn't display her body. Guess what? If a woman wants to display her body, she has the right to do that. There are, you know, health codes in place and things like that. Guess what? Bikini Beans is within the health code. Otherwise, they'd have been shut down years ago, but they've been around. They're a chain now. They're in multiple states. They're a thing. Back the fuck off. It's not like there are topless steakhouses out there. There are places, there are restaurants where you go in and they are literally naked. Where the waitresses are, and I remember Jeff Foxworthy doing a whole stand-up bit on this, but these places exist. There are steakhouses where the waitresses are naked. They're wearing like a G-string, like a flesh-toned G-string and pasties, and the menu is painted on the naked girl. That's not this. This is girls in bikinis. They're showing up in, yeah, skimpy outfits. They might have cowboy boots and a G-string, but they're covered up and they enjoy their work. And guess what? They're very popular. And there are families that come through and they interact with kids. And those families are fine. It's just the uptight people that want to bitch. So don't bitch. on a similar note, there's actually I don't know what this is, a hot pot restaurant in Taipei, Taiwan. I don't know what hot pot is. I also don't eat Chinese food. So I'm not a fan of Asian cuisine. Sorry. But they just kind of had a big promotional thing where they had all of their all the waitresses in bikinis. This was like a one-off thing, like short term, like, oh, this week all the waitresses are in bikinis. And they were all dressed the same, all wearing like white bikinis or whatever. But it was a one-shot big promotional thing to draw in customers. Because in China, it's illegal. Straight up. There was Taiwan, not China, whatever. But over there, because of the governments, because of the government control and the ultra-conservative, the government there controls everything and say, no, you can't do that. Well, there was a restaurant that tried to do a full, hey, this is our, they tried to do the bikini beans thing and, hey, your uniform is a bikini. They tried to convert to that and they were like, no, that's illegal. You're shut down. You can't have it full time there. Guess what? It's China. You can't do that in China. People get executed for things like that. I don't know. But guess what? This is America, where if a woman wants to wear a bikini and make your coffee, she can wear a bikini and make your coffee. And it's hot in them little kiosks. Let the girl relax. Speaking of China, I totally didn't do it on purpose, but speaking of China, apparently there's issues with stealing toilet paper. I didn't know there was like a toilet paper shortage in China. But authorities in Beijing have begun installing facial recognition scanners at the Temple of Heaven, which I guess is like one of their biggest tourist attractions, to prevent people from taking more toilet paper than necessary, like in a certain amount of time. So you go to the public toilet. I guess they've just got some like super ultra 4-ply toilet paper. I don't know, but it's this super swanky place, I guess. I don't know. I don't know China. But apparently they have super high-end toilet paper, and it's a public facility, so people were just going up and stealing the toilet paper. And now they put in facial scanners. So you, in order to get toilet paper, you have to go up to the machine. It scans your face. It dispenses you your allotted amount of toilet paper. And then it's got like a timer. So if you come back again, it's not going to give you any more toilet paper. Sucks if you've got a digestive problem. Really? What if you've got Crohn's disease? What if you've got ulcerative colitis? I think that's one of those things. What if you have a digestive problem? You're just getting kind of screwed by these facial scanners. At the same time, you're probably not at a tourist destination in China. You're probably sitting at home on your toilet, wishing you had that magical Temple of Heaven toilet paper. Or you're using the single ply because it's shit's cheap and you can burn through it quickly. Nevertheless, weird. I can't believe people are stealing toilet paper. I've seen it in like homeless people stealing toilet paper. I've seen that. But that's homeless people stealing from public toilets. It's city toilet paper and it's garbage toilet paper. I never use a public toilet just for the sake of the toilet paper. Sucks. This, apparently China's not like that. Apparently China puts good toilet paper out there and so good that you need to scan your face before you can crap. China. Normally it's Japan. Normally Japan's the weird shit. This time it's China, and it's just, I think they're just really uptight. I don't know. All right, last story of the day. Fake IRS agent tries to scam a cop. Okay, it's tax season. Tax day is coming up in a few weeks if you're in the U.S. And it's one of those that you start getting radio commercials and TV commercials and all those buyer beware and consumer beware that people are going to be making, or like you're going to get a phone call and there's scammers out there claiming they're with the IRS saying that you owe back taxes, you owe late fees, you owe this, you owe this, you owe this. So just send us $3,000 to clear up your fines and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, and we want that payment in iTunes gift cards. Yeah, shit like that really happens. People fall for this. they will call and say, oh, we want you to make your payment in Best Buy gift cards or Amazon gift cards. Like, I don't think the IRS needs iTunes gift cards. And this one particular guy called to scam somebody. And they went around saying, if you don't pay this, we will send police to your house and we will have you arrested for, tax fraud and all this stuff. Couple of things. First off, they can't arrest you for not paying your taxes. They can take you to court and you can do jail time for not paying your taxes, but that's for refusing to file your taxes and refusal to pay your tax. That's a whole other thing. But when you just owe, they can't just like send cops to your house for not doing your taxes. It's tax fraud. It's lying on your taxes. Shit like that. That's a whole other thing. You owe the IRS money. They're just going to take the money. They're not going to come and arrest you. They want the money, not you. Second of all, they will never, ever, 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 ever call you. Especially your cell phone. They can't do that. If you contacted them and you said, hey, call me at this number, they could call you. Otherwise, they can't do that. They're not going to call you and say you owe us money. They're going to send you a letter. Why? They're the government. They have your address. They're going to send you a letter saying, hey, you owe back taxes. Hey, you owe fines. Whatever. They're going to do that by mail. They always do it by mail. It's a paper trail. If they call, it's a lot harder to trace and prove that they talked to the right person. But they send you a certified letter saying you got back taxes, then you, guess what? They know you got that letter. Congratulations. You can't deny it. This particular guy called a police officer. That's right. He called saying, oh, you owe back taxes, you owe back fines, pay us whatever the hell amount of money, and have it sent to this location. Well, the guy they called was a cop. And they're telling him, oh, if you don't contact us back, if you don't make arrangements to make these payments, we will send police to you and have you arrested for tax evasion, blah, blah, blah. Which, again, can't happen. He's a cop. He knows better. So what's he do? He gets on the line with them, and he keeps kind of asking, he's baiting them, basically. He starts baiting them in, trying to collect evidence to, of course, recording the entire thing, baiting them to get the evidence to prove that this whole thing is a scam, proving this is not the IRS calling me, and these people are trying to rip me off. And he's like, oh, hey, will you... I'm just going to go make this payment down at the local IRS office. Like, oh, well, you can't do that there because they don't have your case number because it's been transferred to my office. It's like, IRS, big ass government agency. They've got the case number. You're not the IRS, dude. Guy couldn't even keep his own fake name straight. But yeah, it's sad that there are people that fall for it. These people collect millions. It's a shame that there are people dumb enough to fall for some of these scams. And I know it's mean to say they're dumb, because the people they're calling, they're preying on people. They're primarily going after the old. They're going after people who really don't know better or are too old and trusting. You know, 95-year-old grandma, they say, oh, you owe us $3,000. Okay, sonny, how do you need to pay that? That's what happens. 95-year-old grandma, I need $5,000 in iTunes gift cards mailed to this address, you know. And they do it. That's what's so sad. It's, to me, that's incredibly sad. They prey on the weak and the elderly, and it's a shame. But it's just, yeah. This less of a weird news and more of a warning piece. If the IRS calls you, if anyone calls you saying you owe them taxes, they're full of crap. That's it. IRS isn't going to call you. They're going to send you a letter. They're going to do a shit. IRS will work with you. They'll more likely just dock your paycheck than call you. Sorry. But they want to get this handled, and they have a paper trail because they're the government. The government doesn't call you. They're not going to call your cell phone. They're going to call another brand. They're going to call the post office and make sure you got it. That's what they'll do. But you're going to get a letter. You're going to get a lot of letters. That's what the government does. They like paper. All right. Coming up, I've got one more break. And this week's recommended listening was actually pre-recorded because, like I mentioned, my wife sat down with me, but I do the show while she's at work, so we kind of had to do this ahead of time. But she sat down with me this week to talk about one of her favorite shows, the Myths and Legends podcast.
You're listening to us.
What's up, guys? This is Epic Film Guy Nick here, and I just want to take a few moments to tell you about an excellent podcast that I personally listen to called Ice and the Face. All right, now, if you're a fan of dystopian and even nihilistic comedy, this is the show for you. Rick and Sarah take the most ridiculous news items in the world every single week, and they just tear these stories down, all while having a great, great laugh. They're usually joined by guests who jump right in on the fun, and it's just a great time. They just launched a Patreon over at patreon.com/iceintheface, so you can also support them. But if you're not listening to this show, what you need to do is go to their website at iceintheface.com, or jump over on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe to Ice in the Face. I promise you'll listen for 2 minutes and you will be hooked just like I am. So go ahead and give it a listen and back to your regularly scheduled program.
This is the Myths and Legends Podcast, episode 64, Warts and All. This is a podcast where I tell stories from mythology and folklore. Some are incredibly popular stories you think you know, but with surprising origins. Others are stories you might not have heard, but really should. This week, you'll see why you shouldn't let your children play in the dark forest. They might just bring home a slimy new best friend. Then, on the Creature of the Week, it's a cat from the Peruvian highlands that enjoys dance walking up rainbows and shooting lightning out of its eyes.
And that is this week's featured podcast, Myths and Legends. And I decided, because she's the one who turned me on to this show, that I'm into the mythology thing, but my wife decided that she found this and she introduced it to me. So I decided she had to come on to talk about it with me.
Hello. So
here's my wife, Rihanna.
That's me.
That's you.
So I really, really love this show. It's one of my, like, I wouldn't say, like, it's the only, like, Myths and Legends, whatever show that I listen to, but it's, like, my go-to show. I really like lore and history and things that are creepy in folklore,
yeah,
and his delivery of them and the detail he puts into them,
yeah,
are just amazing. And he does do his little, like, snide commentary. I think
that's probably the best thing, is that he comes on and he has a very dry voice and he has a very dry delivery.
And a very dry sense of humor.
And he works in these quips the snark, I mean, just with, like, the mystical cat, you know, dance walking up a tree, and like,
because that's what cats do, you know.
And then he delivers that line that dry.
Yeah.
But he tells these stories, like, really, they're accurate to the history or folklore or fairy tales. They're accurate to the stories.
Yes.
But he also works in his little sort of commentary, and works it into the story, you know?
Yeah. No, it really is a great show. If you like myths, if you like legends, even if you don't listen, because I guarantee you he has an episode that you will really enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone through so much of the King Arthur legends and Greek mythology and Norse mythology. And
I mean, he's even done some Disney stuff.
I was going to say
that. But it wasn't like the Disney version.
Yeah, it was like, here's the actual Snow Queen story that Frozen was based on. Here's the real Mulan.
Yeah.
Those were cool to hear.
Yeah.
The Little Mermaid was traumatizing.
Ooh, I haven't heard that one. It's been a while since I've listened, because things have been getting busy at work.
Yeah.
But
I remember the Little Mermaid one. Yeah, I remember the Little Mermaid one was like, oh, damn. So, yeah, that was... And I will say, I read through some of the iTunes reviews, and basically the only negative thing people ever said was people who didn't like his humor.
Aw, I love his humor.
Yeah, it was like every one-star review was, just tell the story. I don't need your jokes. I don't need your little
sad
man. Like,
I will say,
it's funny.
If you have a problem with people saying Saul with an L.
Oh, yeah, every A-W word ends with an L for some reason.
God.
But that's just where he's from. Yeah.
That drives me nuts. But I love the content.
Oh, yeah, it's a great show. It's so fun, and the creature of the week is just way out there.
It's always weird.
It's so weird.
They're not related to the story. It's just a creature of the week that he describes, and they're
like, this week we're talking
weird.
About Thor, and here's this weird raccoon thing that's gonna steal your butter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and it could just be like that because Let's say I remember there's Buttercat. And isn't there like a wood cat? And
there's a lot of cats.
There's a lot of cats. But that's just the weirdest. But it's all these weird things. He did like real leprechauns, stuff like that. But it's cool to learn the real stories. And they're so interesting. Learning all of the original stories to stuff. It's been really cool. And it's not just what you might have grown up hearing. Oh, this is what, Disney's Hercules was nothing like the real story.
Well, and then some of them span multiple episodes.
Yeah.
So he really gets in depth with them, and he really develops the story and all of the details and the characters. So it's really, really worth listening to if you have any sort of interest in that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Just because, what would you say was your favorite story?
I would have to say that my favorites were when he talks about Baba Yaga, which I believe is around episode 16 that she comes up.
Yeah. She kind of pops up here and there.
Yeah, makes an appearance in like a few, but
yeah, like anytime Russian legends and Russian stuff pops up, she kind of works her way in there.
Yeah, I just think it's funny because it's this witch that lives out in the cabins, and she's hilarious.
The chicken foot cabin and sleeping on a stove and
the house runs after you, and it's funny.
Yeah, it's
and I also really like the Merlin stories because there were a lot of things that I thought I knew about Merlin that I... Nope.
Yeah. Merlin was kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
But I was kind of... There's like the end of that story, the Merlin story, was kind of sad. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the end of the Merlin bit.
But I really liked those.
Yeah. Those are good. I think my favorite was probably the Disney ones, just because of how different they were, especially Aladdin. That one really threw me off because I did not know the original Aladdin story was Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
And so that one was like, oh, wow, almost everything about this story that people know is
or
wrong.
Like the Cinderella one. So freaking morbid.
Oh,
like,
I know. They're so bad. Those stories are so wrong. Hans Christian Andersen.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't the version that he told anyway, so...
No. But those stories were bad, even the originals at that stage. But anyway. All right. Well, thank you, dear, both for introducing this show to me and for chatting about it with me today.
Getting chatty with it. Yep. Na, 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 na.
If Will Smith sues me, I'm smacking you, really. Okay. Okay. Okay, and I'm back. I'm really back this time. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for me this week. Thank you very much to my wife for sitting down with me for a little bit, because I know she likes us to keep our shows separate. It's just kind of her thing. But she does love... much like me, she loves talking about the stuff that she likes. So I think she'll probably tune in just to hear her own voice this week. But since that is it for me now, I would just like to say thank you for making it this far once again. And remember, all of the stories and the recommended listening are all right there for you at odddadout.blogspot.com. And just click on recommended listening and you'll get the entire list and the links to all of the previous recommended listening suggestions. And all of the news stories and all of the past episodes. There are all the little buttons there to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and Spreaker. And even if you have just a generic Android, there's a button there for you too. And since you're already there subscribing, leave me a review and a rating, because I'd love to hear from you and know what you think of the show. If you think I suck, tell me. I just want to know. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment, but I just want to know what y'all think. Nobody's talking to me. You must talk to me. Or you can just drop me an email at odddadout@gmail.com or on Facebook and Twitter at, you guessed it, odddadout. But that's it for this week. And until next time, I've been Adam Higgins, the Odd Dad Out. Thank you and good night.